to Psy.
Spend the day with Psy.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Radio Psy Thursday Live.
Dear listeners, from the studios of Radio Psy at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and you are listening to Love to Love. And today we have a very special conversation with an individual who is quite well known in the Psy circle. Many of you would have heard of Brother Hari Subramaniam, a well-versed bhajan singer who has used music to share Swami's teachings for a very long time. Born in 1971, Hari has been in Swami's fold since 1979. He was a Sathya Sai Balavikas student in Tuticore in Tamil Nadu and was a member of the Brindavan Sevadal from 91 to 94. Brother Hari then joined the Brindavan Bhajan group between 92 to 2000, and from September 2000, he has conducted bhajan workshops and talks on Namasmarana in over 15 countries, including North America, the UK, Australia, Caribbean, Middle East, and the Far East. And now he and his wife Shweta resides in California, USA, where he works as the Vice President of Engineering at ServiceMax Incorporation, Pleasanton, California. So a few days back, I sat down for a chat with Brother Hari when he was in Parthi and was blown away by his music and the stories that he narrated. So let's go back and relive those memories once again. So dear listeners, here is Brother Hari Subramaniam.
Sairam, Brother Hari, it's been such a honor and pleasure talking to you yesterday. So from what background I gathered by talking to you and Hariharan sir yesterday, I thought we will start this conversation by talking about how you came to Swami in the first place. Probably it is a very cliched question, but I think everybody has a very unique answer to this question. So I think it is worth asking. So let's talk about how you came to Swami in the first place.
Sairam, first of all, thank you for, you know, allowing me to come here and, you know, giving the opportunity to dwell in Swami's experiences. There is no accident, there is no coincidence in our existence. Swami has made it very, very clear. When I was 8 years old, I had a so-called close friend, and I used to play with him every day, and one Sunday afternoon I went as usual looking for him, and he was nowhere to be found. So I went looking for him, inquired about where he is at his home and other friends and so on. They all pointed to me to a specific house, a couple of streets away from where I lived. And when I went there, upstairs, I finally found my friend. That's a pretty loaded statement, I should say. Because my so-called friend was sitting on the floor with a small notebook, and many children of the same age group were also seated there. And that was when I saw Swami's picture.
And so that was a Balukas class?
I did not know that at the time.
Yes.
And my intention was to be with this friend. Little did I realize that my true friend already had a plan, that it was time for me to recognize the friendship. And I consider that to be a very, very fortunate moment and day, not because of anything else, but for a very simple thing, that Balmika's guru did that to me that day without knowing me, without knowing my background. She said, "You know who this is," pointing to Swami's picture.
Okay.
She said, "This is your God." End of statement.
Okay. Did you believe that at that time?
And that is the most beautiful thing. And I thought, if he is God, then will he give anything that I ask? I asked her, and she said, if you want good marks, you can ask him.
Okay.
If you want anything, you can ask him. And in this whole divine play that unfolded, much, much later did I realize that this is possible only because of his karuna. Because when we are so young, so innocent and open, he chose that is the best way to enter your life. So in the journey since then, till now, I have developed a tendency to associate bhajans with the feelings that arise, that we want to express something to Swami, we want to communicate something to Swami, we want to talk to Swami, and the bhajans are all there already,
yes,
laid out with various feelings, and then I tend to associate bhajans saying, this feeling, this bhajan seems to be very suitable. I am not a composer or anything. All the bhajans are already there. Swami brings the right bhajan to the foreground and allows one to express. So I, for this particular feeling, there is a broader message that there is there, I thought. It is extremely important to be grateful to Swami that we actually, he entered our lives. And in mysterious circumstances, and as you said, it is extremely unique in each and everyone's experience.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that he has entered our lives, it is not because of any of our greatness, anything that we have achieved. It is purely because of his karuna that he has decided to come among us to rescue us. And we can probably compare this to Gajendra, who desperately cried out to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
He left all the business and came and rescued Gajendra, granted that boon, and the crocodile that was holding Gajendra's feet, Swami says it can be compared to Samsara Sagara. So the song, Karunantaranga
ಕರಿರಾಜ ವರದ ಕಮಲೇಶ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಾಯಿರಾಮ ಓಂಕಾರ ರಾಮ ಪ್ರಶಾಂತಿ ರಾಮ ಪರಬ್ರಹ್ಮ ಸತ್ಯ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮ ಕಮಲೇಶ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಾಯಿ ರಾಮ.
We don't know whether we cried, we don't know how we cried or if we cried, but because of his karuna he just came and he has chosen to rescue us, and that is how Swami entered my life.
Very beautifully expressed that feeling through that bhajan. So when did you start singing bhajans? Right from your childhood, during the Balvikas, or it came later? Or
of course, in Balvikas, we all sing in a group and there is a lot of excitement around bhajans. I was never a singer as such, you know, as much as the desire was there to be one, to be a lead singer.
Okay.
After growing up in the South Indian town of Tuticorin, my family moved to Bangalore after I finished my education. Even though the Balvikas upbringing was there, it was very clear in my heart who Swami is. But when I moved to Bangalore, I landed a very good job. As a youth, I got distracted.
Okay.
He ended up in the wrong company. And because somehow I had landed this nice job, I had a bunch of so-called friends with whom I used to hang out. And those days, I used to have this desire to wear only black dress.
Okay.
So I always used to wear a black pant and a black shirt. I used to have a motorcycle which was black, with a black helmet, black sunglasses and black gloves. And I used to ride around in this road called MG Road in Bangalore, the intersection of Brigade Road. I don't know what I was trying to achieve those days. As I was zooming around like this, in pursuit of nothing, my family, they used to encourage me to go have Swami's darshan at least once.
Okay.
And reluctantly, one day I agreed to go for Swami's darshan in Vrindavan. And you can imagine in what avatar I went for the darshan, wearing a fully black dress.
So which year was this?
This was in 1991.
91.
I still remember it was, because it was a holiday, I ended up going Republic Day on January 26th. And those days Swami used to grant darshan in the Sairam shed. And I was sitting way at the back. This is the first time Bhagavan granted the darshan for me. As I was sitting at the back, unknowingly I did something very, very smart. As Swami was granting darshan, walking in front of me, I realized that I have been going in the wrong path. Even though it was crystal clear that Swami, the Lord of the universe, is walking in front of me, has entered my life, and I am wasting my time, life. And sitting way at the back, I started praying to Swami. I said, Swami, I know you know everything and you know what I am up to these days. I definitely do not want to be like this, Swami. I want to be better. I want to be good. But Swami, you know that I am caught in this company. I don't know how to get out of this. So I offered a prayer at his lotus feet, and I believe that was the smartest thing, if I look back, that I ever did. even though I was not a smart person. I said, Swami, I don't know what you will do. I don't know how long it will take. Please change me, Swami. I left that at his lotus feet, silently, went back home, back to the so-called company of friends. And if I look back now, I don't know what happened in the next 3 months. This was in January, and in the month of April, I was going back to the very same Vrindavan.
Okay.
This time, in the same motorcycle, but wearing white dress. I'm not able to pinpoint saying, this is the one particular thing Swami did, he took 3 months, there was no such thing. I just had offered an innocent prayer, Swami, I do want to be this. And he utilized all the right resources and he deployed all the techniques that were needed to pull the right strings in my heart, and I believe that was a very smart thing for us to pray. When we pray, without attaching a project plan with it, without guiding him as to how to do things for us,
yes,
leave it, and he beautifully, beautifully turned things around, and I fell at his lotus feet. Just taking a couple of steps back, when my family used to encourage me to go have Swami's darshan, I used to challenge them.
Okay.
Well, will if I go to Swami's darshan, will he talk to me?
Mm-hmm.
Will he give me a chance to sing? Will he give me a ring? All of that. And my family used to tell me, my sister used to tell me, of course he will give everything that you want. Wasn't that the first thing that was taught to us after all?
Okay.
So you please go. And when I went and joined the Sevadal volunteers in Vrindavan, a few weeks into my existence as a Sevadal, I started noticing a couple of things. One was, this Vrindavan bhajan group, they used to sing in the Sairam shed, right at the feet of Swami. Swami used to sit in front of that Krishna statue, and every Sunday they used to do bhajans from morning till evening. And I was looking at them like, wow, I have seen these people in Bangalore and many places. And I had this craze to sing bhajans.
Okay.
And I used to go to one bhajan every day in Bangalore.
Oh, okay.
So I knew the full bhajan schedule in all of Bangalore. But they would not let me sing in any of the centers. Because those days my singing used to be very moving. When I sing, people will get up and move. So they will always make me sit at the back and say, you clap, you do that really well. They will never allow me to sing, but I had this desire that, Swami, I have to sing. I really want to sing. So first thing that I observed was that this Vrindavan bhajan group, especially made of people from Bangalore, can actually sit at his lotus feet and sing. That was one thing.
Okay.
The second thing I saw was all these boys from the hostel every morning going into Trai. Those days they used to sit in front of Bhagavan's door. I used to listen to their singing. And I thought, wow, what a chance. And then again, I did that extremely smart thing that I started to perfect by then. Shamelessly pray to Swami. It is not your problem as to whether that will be granted, when it will be granted, how it will be granted, whether you deserve it. It is like when a child wants chocolate, it demands from the mother. It is not going to sit and think, is it good for my health? Do we have the money to buy the chocolate? I want chocolate, period. So that kind of a prayer I offered when I saw this bhajan group there, I thought, Swami, what a chance this is. I am not even allowed to sing in the samitis here. The audacity to offer a prayer at his lotus feet saying, I want to sing in your physical presence, Swami. I made that prayer, of course. Not even an ant's footstep misses the Lord. And I forgot all about it.
You didn't offer a letter or anything.
Nothing,
in your heart.
Just my heart.
In your heart, yes.
And I forgot all about it. 2 weeks later, Swami was walking in the Sairam shed. Bhajans were going on. Swami, just as he was crossing the men's group, he made a comment. Ikkada anta Muslim vallu kuchunnaru. How come old people are sitting here?
Yes.
And he walked away. And the bhajan group immediately understood what Swami had said and what Swami wanted. So they generally realized
the
youngsters to be given a chance, and that bhajan group, as our brother Hariharan very well knows, has very strict audition process and everything. And because Swami made this remark, they have to immediately deploy a change.
Okay.
They cannot go through their regular audition and make an announcement and so on. And there I was wandering, and luckily I had registered my face in all the samitis in Bangalore.
Okay.
They know that this fellow at least is capable of attending bhajans, if not singing bhajans. So they immediately caught me. Within 2 weeks of my offering a prayer, I was at his lotus feet in Sairam shed, 2 feet away from Swami's feet. I got the chance to sit and sing.
Wow. That is beautiful. I mean, it is amazing that you were there during the Sairam shed time.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing, because we all came after the Sai Ramesh Hall was there. So I'm sure it would have been very different experience singing in Sairam shed.
Yes.
So how do you compare those days with the later years in Sai Ramesh Hall, the bhajans, experience of the bhajans in Swami's presence?
Very close to Swami. Is how I would describe it. But then there was a very interesting phase, because I had absolutely no knowledge of music. I used to very sincerely believe that harmonium is a waste of space in bhajans. Especially because if the harmonium is not there, you can sit closer to Swami.
Okay.
I saw it as a hindrance.
Okay.
So we did not even know, actually, as lead singers, I did not even know how to start a bhajan to Shruti. Again, the aspect of karuna and daya needs to come. He is Nada Brahma. Veda Kalamayi we sing, Nada Vidyamayi Narayani we sing, but if he demanded supreme music quality, probably all of mankind cannot possibly come together and even try to take a possibly even a first step. It is not possible. It was very clearly evident that Swami was not really looking for musical prowess.
Yes.
Especially because I was sitting at his lotus feet. He allowed, it is okay, absolutely okay to be where you are and gradually pick up. And it was funny, because the lead harmonium player, he used to start the bhajan on behalf of other lead singers, because he was the only one who knew how to start a bhajan with a harmonium.
Okay.
With Swami sitting right in front of us, he will start like this. Dasharata Nandana Rama. And he will turn to us and we will immediately start singing Daya Sagara Rama. And Swami would watch all of us doing that. Shows the Lord's karuna and daya. Only in the Lord's kingdom can this happen. When the world has all qualifications associated with everything, here the Supreme Lord, who has crystallized and taken a form, gives so much importance to music and all things associated with it, allowed this also can be only because that he is Karuna Sagara. Is something that I learned from this.
Yes, very true.
So talking about the Sai Ramesh Hall, it was a very, very interesting experience for us, because Swami had granted a very specific experience. When we were in Sairam shed, we used to sing in a group, because no microphones were kept for us in Sairam shed.
Okay.
And students who sing like angels, we used to watch students sing like this in microphone. And parallelly, Swami was allowing this us to sing also without microphones in the Sairam shed. So we used to sing in group. So one of the key qualifications that was expected from us was a loud voice.
Okay.
Not necessarily a microphone voice, as you know many may consider, somebody who can modulate the voice very well in microphone and so on. So we did not really worry about it. As long as we are able to shout and everybody is able to hear around Sairam shed, good enough. But then when the Sai Ramesh Hall was built and inaugurated, we thought our days are over.
Okay.
This is such a big hall. We certainly are not capable of shouting to the capacity, real estate capacity of this hall. So one day Swami might come and communicate the message to us saying, thank you very much for your services all these days. My students will sing from now on, is what we were eagerly waiting to hear. One Thursday morning, when I entered Vrindavan, we were all sitting there, and the main harmonium player, he told me, Hari, Swami communicated a message to the warden today. I said, what message is it? And he said, Hari, today we are singing in microphone.
Okay.
The amount of selflessness I saw in the group that day, I did not see any other day after that. Everybody said, no, you please sing. I don't want to sing. Because if it is going to be letting down Swami, but let it be you, it's not me. So it was, again, demonstrating Swami's karuna. If voice quality, if technical prowess, the ability to catch the most sophisticated ragas and deliver it in front of him, if that was the qualification, nobody in the entire mankind is qualified to do that in front of Bhagwan. He knew very well that we are not trained to sing in microphone, but he allowed that also. He allowed us to transition very, very nicely. So I remember the first time I had the opportunity to sing in a microphone, when Swami was seated on a Thursday morning. This is the song I wanted to sing.
Rama Rama Jai Raghukula Tilaka Rajiva Lochana Rama Ishwaramasuta Jaya Jagavandana Ratnakar Kula Deepa Ratnakar Kula Deepa Sai Ratnakar Kula Deepa.
This is not how I sang that day.
So this is the first bhajan you sang in front
in
of
microphone,
Swami?
In the microphone.
Yes. Okay.
But then, even before Swami came, I was shivering. I was so afraid that Swami should not come and listen to this, my singing in microphone. Then he may stop my bhajan. My bhajan group will throw me out. Because no training whatsoever, I was sweating bullets. In front, Bhagavan came and very lovingly seated in the chair, and I am looking at Swami filled with fear. Swami says, why fear when I am here? Here, Swami, I fear because you are here. And as soon as I started singing, looking at Swami despondently, Swami, how is this going to happen? Because I am so afraid. Swami just opened his eyes, looked at me and smiled. Such a beautiful smile. Anupama Sundara, we call him. He said, sing. Beautiful lesson Bhagavan taught. Fear is the last feeling that we should have when singing to the Lord. All Swami wants from us is bhakti and bhava. You have that, everything will be taken care. So I learned that lesson, but then a bigger lesson was waiting. Because of this encouragement given by Swami, if we actually think about it, the fact that Swami has taken all of us in his fold, allowing us to come to the centers and participate in bhajans and all these activities, is actually a sign of encouragement. Saying, you please come. Mm-hmm. This door is open. So this encouragement Swami gave, because of that strength of that encouragement, I was singing every week in his presence. Week after week, I was getting an opportunity to offer a bhajan at his lotus feet. And because of that, after a few weeks, months passed by, it came to a point, it went inside my head. And I actually started thinking that I am actually a good singer. Because I am singing in front of Swami week after week, he also obviously seems to be enjoying it. Little did I know that he is tolerating us. When it got into my head, it directly impacted my attitude towards bhajans.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I am such a great singer that I really don't have to practice bhajans anymore. I could just open the bhajan book,
Okay. Put
my finger on any bhajan, I should be able to sing that. Confidence is good to have, but as long as the confidence comes out of faith and not out of pride, then it is a good type of confidence. Here I had the wrong type of confidence.
There is a thin line between confidence and arrogance.
Yes.
Right?
And here I was, ignorant and rightly, as you said, arrogant. And here is where the Lord's karuna expands even more. When He decides to whack our ego, that is the greatest blessing we can receive from the Lord. Because it shows that He cares. Instead of allowing our ego to grow, He comes and whacks it, hence we call Him Madhusudana. A couple of weeks passed by when I was started to think that I am such a great singer. On a Thursday morning, I was the very first person on the men's side sitting at the corner in front of Bhagwan in Sai Ramesh Hall. Our sisters from the ladies group, they were singing a bhajan. Swami was enjoying it. And it was my turn to sing next. And the harmonium player is trying to get my attention desperately because he has to give the shruti for the song. And when we are singing in front of Bhagwan, we are not allowed to turn to each other and talk. Usually we write in small pieces of paper, exchange notes. So he is trying to get my attention because I hadn't selected which bhajan I am going to sing, with my turn being the next. How much more ignorant one can be. And at the very last minute, I took a piece of paper and I wrote Shiva and Namah Shiva and gave it to him.
Shivaya Namah Shiva, Shivaya Namah Shiva, Shivaya Namah Namah Shivaya.
A very, very simple, beautiful bhajan. Om first, Nama salutations, Shiva the Lord of Auspiciousness. My first salutation goes to you. As soon as I wrote that bhajan, that harmonium player started sweating even more. Because he did not know which bhajan, because there are other bhajans also that start with Shiva and Namah Shiva.
Yes.
He got confused. But I was so confident that I did not need the support of the harmonium. So I ended up starting the same bhajan, 4 shrutis higher than this, in front of Bhagwan.
Shivaya Namah Shiva, Shivaya Namah.
As soon as I started the bhajan, I realized what I had done. Swami just looked at me like this. In that look, all the message was conveyed. See what you have done to yourself. I started crying. I call these as the water projects. The best Satya Sai water project is happening in everybody's lives every day when we cry for the Lord. I started crying what I have done. And I knew that I will not be able to finish this bhajan. Because it is going to go so high. Our brothers were so kind. They launched a rescue operation. They took the microphone from in front of me.
Okay.
Kept it in front of another singer who had a much wider voice range.
Okay.
He finished the bhajan. I had realized the gravity of the blunder I had done. I thought, Swami, you are the Purana Yuga avatar. You choose out of your love and compassion to descend upon earth in Kali Yuga, and you enter all our lives and you demonstrate your omniscience, omnipresence and omnipotence so that we will fall at your lotus feet. Not only that, and then you demonstrate what our life's purpose is, and you show you are that goal, and you show our only purpose of our existence is reaching that goal, figuring out a way to reach that goal, and you say you don't have to figure it out, I will show a way you can realize that goal. Simply hold on to my name, you will become that name. As simple as that. And here I am, at your very lotus feet, letting you down in that very activity, Swami. What an idiot I am. What a fool I am. So I felt so miserable about myself, I realized I don't deserve to enter Vrindavan from now on. So I told our brothers in Vrindavan Bhajan group, saying, brothers, I don't deserve to be part of this group. I don't deserve to be in Vrindavan. I cannot step foot in this holy land. With a heavy heart, crying, pouring my heart out, I went back home that day. For the first time in many years, when Swami was in Vrindavan, I did not go to Vrindavan that Sunday.
Okay.
The next Thursday also I did not go to Vrindavan. I was sitting in my office crying. What have I done? What a chance I have lost by my arrogance. And around 10 o'clock, one of the brothers who always used to sit next to me in the bhajan group, he calls me on the Thursday morning. He asks, Hari, why didn't you come today? I told him, brother, you know why I didn't come. I don't deserve to enter Vrindavan. He said, no, Hari, today Swami was looking for you.
Okay.
I said, what happened? Swami was walking around the bhajan group. As he stopped near the bhajan group, he started searching as he was looking for somebody. And this boy always used to sit next to me. Swami asked him, where is that boy?
Okay.
This boy did not know which boy Swami was referring to. He asked Swami, Swami, ever Swami, which boy Swami? Swami said, that boy, the boy with the spectacles.
Okay.
Where is that boy? He said, Swami, what rale the Swami? He did not come. Swami said, stupid. Now it was clear Swami was referring to me. Immediately all the brothers in the bhajan group, they started calling, you better show up in Vrindavan.
Yeah.
This Sunday. Swami himself was inquiring about you. On one side, my heart was overjoyed, overflowing with gratitude. Here I have done something like this, and Swami demonstrating the qualities of a mother. Whatever mistakes a child makes, a mother will accommodate. Karunamayi. That's why you say, Karuna sadani karunamayama. Right? And on the other side, there is a small element of doubt. Swami, were you really looking for me? If you were really, really looking for me, I am coming to Vrindavan this Sunday, Swami. Please confirm that to me also. There is no end to desire. Greed. That Sunday, as a coincidence, I should say, happened to be Ganesh Chaturthi.
Okay.
In Vrindavan. Students did a beautiful program. Yesterday was Ganesh Chaturthi.
Yes, yes.
And Swami went inside. Usually, Vrindavan bhajan group does bhajans morning till evening. We did not get a chance. So we were wondering what to do. And my desire was still there. Swami, what is this, Swami? Just Thursday, apparently you were looking for the boy with the specs. Here I am with the big specs. And I'm standing there. We were standing there. Our bhajan group was standing there at the students' hostel corner next to Kalyana Mantapam. Suddenly there was a commotion saying Swami is coming to the hostel. Swami started walking from the gates of Trai Vrindavan. From a distance of about 30 feet, he looked at me and said, Dunapota, you buffalo. Our bhajan group member said, Swami is calling you, go.
Okay, okay.
So I ran to Swami with the love of a million, million, million mothers. Swami asked, Enathuku varala Thursday? Why didn't you come on Thursday? What answer will I give him? Swami said, Pada Namaskar Tisko. I was asking for forgiveness.
Yeah.
And the Lord, in spite of the mistake, the ego journey I took, He, the mother that He is, allowed me to continue forgiving that. And He did not stop there. 2 weeks later, Swami had said that I will talk to the bhajan group, you all wait in Sai Ramesh Hall. We were all waiting and Bhagavan came around us, started talking to a few of us, and he came to the boy who was sitting next to me, and that boy got up and said Swami something, and Swami materialized vibhuti. As we all do shamelessly, when Swami gives vibhuti to the person sitting next to you, we are supposed to shamelessly stretch our hands as well. Paramartha ishtartha moksha pradatam, it can grant us liberation itself. So I stretched my hands, for me also I want vibhuti. Swami still had so much vibhuti in his hand. Swami looked at my hand and he pushed my hand aside.
Okay.
And he took that vibhuti and applied it on my throat.
Wow.
And he said in Telugu, "Mee voice clear avutundra," he said. "Your voice will become clear." And our Vrindavan Bhajan Group brothers can vouch for this. In 3 months, how my voice dramatically changed. Perhaps after this recording, when we get a chance, I'll play a recording of one bhajan that I used to sing before.
Sure, sure.
Before this happened, how lovingly you want a chance to sing, you want to sing with a better voice. All those are simply tools that are needed to realize the joy of singing to the Lord and communicating with the Lord. He does not want those to be distractions in the process, so He will grant everything so that you can freely sing to the Lord with bhakti and bhava. How, in spite of all the problems and limitations and the ego journeys that I take, how He was so kind to grant this experience and He allowed me to continue to serve Him in a very, very small way. So this is kind of how we came about, being in the Vrindavan Bhajan group and the wonderful experiences. I'll share another beautiful experience from my Sevadal days. I was 21 years old, fresh as a Sevadal, and we used to have a poster in our house, Swami's picture, and it says, Bhagavan Sri Sati Sai Baba is the head of this household, a silent listener in every conversation, an unseen guest in every meal. And I used to look at that poster and wonder. Swami, based on all that I read from other devotees' experiences in books, you have demonstrated to millions how true this statement is, that sometimes you are not just a silent listener to every conversation, you make your presence felt and you demonstrate that you are a witness to everything. How nice it will be, Swami, if you show that to me also. Shameless prayer. Forgot all about it. One evening when I came from my office back home, my mother was eagerly waiting to tell me something. I asked Amma, "What is it?" And she said, "Hari, this dad went to this particular place and there is this proposal that has come for you. And you know what that means by that, a marriage proposal. Shall we proceed?" she asked. And I was just 21 years old.
Okay.
Swami says, even if you don't oblige, speak obligingly. But that day I violated that principle, and I, instead of politely saying no to my mother, I got very, very angry and upset with my mother. I started shouting at her, saying, "Are you out of your mind? Are you crazy? Do you know how young I am? I am not interested in getting married at all." And at the end, after this yelling at my mother for a long time, I finally declared something.
Okay.
I said, "Amma, you listen. Even if Swami tells me, you won't get married."
Okay, that's a very bold statement to make.
So, every time we do something like this, Swami will roll up his sleeves. He'll say, "Oh really, let me see." The very next day I went to Vrindavan, Sevadal duty. I have a designated position in the Sairam shed. But that day, very, very unusually, the Sevadal leader, he came straight looking for me and he said, "Boy, now you go and stand there." And he pointed me to a place between the Kalyana Mandapam and the hostel.
Okay.
I'm supposed to stand there. not even an ant will come. I don't know why he made me stand there. So I stood there along Swami's path to Sairamshed. I was standing there waiting for Swami's darshan. Whatever had transpired at home the previous day, I was still feeling bad about it. So Swami granted darshan. As he was in the Sairam shed, he sent one young girl for an interview. She went in front of me. And as this girl was walking in front of me, I was thinking about the topic of the conversation at home the previous day. And the monkey mind had a bad thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I immediately chastised myself for thinking like that. And I started feeling so miserable about myself. Now, Swami is walking back on the sand slowly, back to Trai Vrindavan. As he is walking in front of me, I started feeling so bad. I thought, Swami, by your boundless grace and compassion that I have come here. Here, even after coming to your fold, I am not following your teaching, Swami. At home, I shouted at my mother. And here, right in the holy abode of yours, my mind is wandering like a mad monkey, Swami. Swami, please forgive me for all these silly mistakes that I make. So I have only one thing to beg of you, Swami. In the future, Swami, whatever happens, wherever I go, however mad monkey behavior this mind shows, I shall never ever leave your lotus feet because you are the best thing that can happen to a human being.
Mm-hmm.
I shall never ever leave your lotus feet, Swami. You should always keep me at your lotus feet. And that is your responsibility, Swami. Please, Swami, in the heart, intense prayer. As soon as the thought was coming in my heart, Swami was walking in front of me, about 15 feet away from me. He just stopped. He turned to my side. He looked at me eye to eye. He said, "Hey boy, come here."
He must have shivered.
I just ran to him. He asked, "What are you doing?" I said, "Swami, I'm a computer engineer." "Ah, computer engineer." Then with a mischievous smile, Swami asked, "I have sent one girl inside. You want to marry her?" I said, "Yes, Swami." He said, "You dundupota, you buffalo. Take Pada Namaskar," he said.
Okay.
I took Pada Namaskar. Of course, that marriage did not happen. I did not go inside. But in that few seconds of interaction, how many things Swami proved. I am not always a silent listener to all your conversations. Not just an unseen guest in every meal. I am listening to everything. Just yesterday you declared, even if Swami tells I won't get married, he made me reverse that whole stand in less than 24 hours. And here I was begging for forgiveness and a commitment in the future, the Lord granting that instantaneously, saying, "I will forgive. Take Pada Namaskar." Very, very touching experience.
Very beautiful. So, Brother Hari, let's fast forward a bit now.
Mm-hmm.
And then later, much later, you started giving a lot of talks in different Sai centers based on all these experiences that Swami has given you and this beautiful talent Swami has given you, that is your ability to sing well and your love for bhajans and things like that. So you have gone to a lot of countries speaking about Swami and singing bhajans. You know what Swami says, that when you serve, the most important thing is that the person who is serving should benefit the most than the person who is being served. You know, that only then service takes real meaning. So in your experience of touring around the world, spreading Swami's message, how has that benefited you personally in your own spiritual growth?
So how this whole thing started also is a very interesting experience. I should probably share that. I used to live in the US, now also I live there, in California. Even though I lived in the US, whenever I came to Bangalore, if Swami were physically present in Vrindavan, the group was kind enough to allow me to sit with the group. So I was technically a member of Vrindavan Bhajan group, even though physically I was away. So I used to get weekly updates. If Swami came to Vrindavan, I will talk to the members of the Bhajan group as to what happened, who sang what bhajan, how many bhajan Swami sat for, and all of that, so that I can visualize what's happening in Vrindavan. One day, one of the brothers whom I was talking to, he said, Hari Swami gave us all white dress.
Okay.
Just for the record, whenever Swami gives anything to anybody, I am very jealous of them. In a very positive way. So I start yearning for that. An intense desire builds for that. So when this brother said, Swami gave us white dress essentially when Swami gives, it signifies that you have to do his work. Become pure so that you will be ready to be used. I started praying intensely and had a little bit of an upsetness also there with Swami. Swami, what is this Swami? I am technically part of the Vrindavan Bhajan group. How can you give white dress to all these boys and not me? But I am here in California. So I made a pact with Swami. I was not sure whether Swami was part of the pact. So I said, Swami, I am visiting India in a few weeks. I am going to be in Vrindavan. So I have two prayers to you. I want a white dress. You have to give me a white dress. Not only that, while you are giving to me as a member of Vrindavan Bhajan group, they should not get again. It is only fair, I thought.
Okay.
So I landed in Vrindavan. So I was doing Sevadal volunteer duty in Thrai Vrindavan campus. Suddenly, in the middle of the day, around 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Swami's interview room door opened. He called all of us. He granted us an interview. At the end of that, Swami gave a white dress to all of us. And he also gave stitching charge.
Okay.
The kind mother that she is. I should actually be happy that Swami gave this, but I was upset for two reasons. One, that he did not talk to me enough in the interview, upset because of that. The second was, there was one other member from Vrindavan Bhajan group, he was also part of this group,
okay,
that he got white dress. And I know he got white dress two weeks ago. So now I am upset with Swami. So as I was going back home with the brother in his car, he was elated. Hey, we all got white dress. Now see, Swami gave you white dress also. And he gave you 500 rupees also. Out of ignorance, I said, I don't want this 500 rupees. I will give 500 rupees on top and give back 1000 rupees to Swami. I don't want that. Arrogance. Because I was upset that Swami didn't talk to me in the interview. So the next day I go back to Vrindavan. I was doing some work in the afternoon in front of Thrai Vrindavan, in front of Swami's interview room. Suddenly the door opened. Swami, with his hands held back, he slowly started walking, and with his eyes he just called me like this. I ran towards him. Swami gave another 500 rupees to me.
Okay. Did he say anything?
Nothing. No word. Because all the communication has happened. This is the end of the conversation that is happening to end all future conversations like that. So he granted that. Then I ended up talking to this other boy who got the white dress for the second time.
Okay.
So he said, after Swami gave the white dress, he had kept it in his house. And there was a burglary in the house, and the thief had actually taken the white dress also. How gently Swami had given him the white dress again, it was so nice. So when, after trying to digest this experience, when I went back to the US, that is when the magnitude of what Swami had done hit me. That it is, you can't waste your time, your life. And I realized, Swami has very clearly conveyed that it is time for you to get to work. You can't waste any time. Mm. But then I also realized, Swami, what am I capable of doing after all? Who am I to serve you? You don't need, Swami doesn't need any servants. He can be an also ran case in the side. With or without us, his work will anyway be done. So here I was thinking, as I was driving in my car, you have given me a white dress, saying, stitch this and put the dress to work, become pure like that white dress. Then I prayed to Swami, because the first technique he taught me was that. If you want to be a servant also, pray to him. He will figure out a way to how to use you. So I prayed, Swami, I don't know what I can do in any small way. So I prayed to him, Swami, somehow in your grand big mission, make me also of some use. Put me also to some use in some small way. Let me also be running in some corner with all these great servants of yours. Somehow use me, Swami. As soon as this prayer was offered, somebody came out of the blue, said, since you have been in Vrindavan Bhajan group, you must have learned about singing bhajans. So can you please share some of your experiences and so on? That is how that whole journey started.
Okay.
And coming to your question, brother, even now, after 13 years of this experience Swami has been granting, allowing us to travel to more than 15 countries, he has clearly taught me, that the only reason that this is happening is not for the benefit of anybody else. Swami doesn't need me to communicate any message to anybody. He doesn't need that. He manifests himself in so many beautiful ways in so many parts of the world, which I have witnessed in such a close proximity. He taught me two things. The first one goes back to one of the things that Swami had told me in an interview. When I was at his lotus feet, he said, grinding his teeth, he said, frogs in the well. You are right here. You don't know the value of Swami. He made me realize, going to different parts of the world, nooks and corners, interacting with the greatest devotees, how true that was. And the greatest thing that he taught me was that you are nobody to teach anything. He is the only guru that can be. In the process, it is just a role that he has allowed you to play. By repeating the same thing in multiple places, you are reiterating those points to yourself. Simply keep doing that. Just learn. And his value is seen by looking at the amount of devotion the greatest bhaktas around the world have. And that is the biggest lesson that I have learned.
I think there is a very beautiful perspective, the way you put it, that when you give more and more speeches, you are actually reiterating the same lesson to yourself than you're preaching the devotees.
Yes.
I think that's a very beautiful perspective to the entire thing.
Yes.
Can you narrate any specific incidents from your trips around the world, you know, teaching bhajans, singing Swami's bhajans, that something that has touched your heart very deeply?
As you might know, those of us who are growing up in India, we are so spoiled by the taste of the food here.
Yes. You know, it's very funny. About a month back, I had interviewed a group of people from Netherlands, for four or five people. So when I asked one of the person, he said he had love for India and things like that before even he came to know about Swami. So I asked, okay, you were in Netherlands, so how did you come to love India? He said, because of Indian food. Because in Netherlands, he was getting Indian food. So that's what attracted him to India. And that got him to Swami finally.
Yeah,
so.
Look at that. Swami is the number one. So yeah, we all are, our tongues are very well trained to be uncompromising about the taste of the food. So wherever we go, the amount of sacrifice in terms of time that we can go through without tasty, spicy food is probably 24 hours. So that is there, unfortunately. So when we go to different places, travel to different countries, the devotees there are so humble and so full of devotion to Swami, they don't see us visiting them as anything different from Swami himself visiting. They silently, without any advertisement, without any show, they very, very silently do a lot of things to take care of us, which I was not aware of. So, one of the opportunities was when, along with a few students of Swami who live in the United States and Canada, got the opportunity to travel with them to Trinidad and Tobago many years ago. And we had wonderful satsangs and programs in multiple places for 3 days. And at the end of the second day, our taste buds were calling for attention. Saying you cannot ignore this beyond this. So we were wondering how to get Indian food here.
Okay.
That is the bottom line. So I ended up talking to a very humble lady, and she was so touched by the musical performances and the talks given by various folks, Swami students. She asked, is there anything that I can do? And then I was waiting for that opportunity for somebody to ask that question. I said, indeed you can, Amma. This is what we would love to eat, Indian food, with our pickles and our rasam and everything. And the day before we left, on the night, there was a very big satsang organized, and there was a nice dinner organized by a very loving Sai brother. And it was supposed to be a normal dinner that we had actually had, served with a lot of love and devotion, but it was not Indian food, Trinidadian food. So as we were about to eat, suddenly brand new utensils and brand new boxes arrived by car, and this lady arrived with all the nice tasty food prepared for us. And all of us jumped in joy. We, without hesitation, did full justice to the food that was brought. And after that, I was very, very thankful that they were able to even arrange this, even though it was a very worldly desire. Then as we went back, one of the persons who had traveled with us, he was talking to one of the organizers, saying, thank you very much for arranging everything so beautifully for us, right from the time when we arrived at the airport, all the way to dropping us back, taking care of us so beautifully. And he specifically mentioned, including the special treat that you had saved for us on the last day.
Okay.
Then I realized something very beautiful had happened behind the scenes. Apparently, this lady had offered to make this food every day for us.
Okay.
But in that lady's house, her husband eats non-vegetarian food. The organizers knew that. They really wanted us to have that kind of food, but because he eats non-vegetarian food, they did not want our food to be prepared in that kitchen.
Okay.
And that is why they had only themselves prepared the food for us. And when they learned that we had specifically, I had specifically asked for this food, what they had done was so touching. They actually bought brand new utensils, end to end, required for cooking, and gave it to that lady saying, use these because these are Swami's boys.
You must have felt very humbled when you came to know about that.
Yes, I was crying. Another water project happened non-stop as I was reading an email that elaborated this. Moved beyond words. Ashamed, at the same time also humbled. How much love and bhakti people have, devotees have for Swami.
Very beautiful, very beautiful. So brother, before we now conclude, let's conclude with a song or a bhajan. Can you sing something? It could be a song or a bhajan. It could be anything specific if you want.
Is it okay if I narrate something about the bhajan?
Yes, yes. You can narrate
very quickly.
Sure, no,
you can,
you don't have to do it quickly it also. You can speak. Take 5-10 minutes. Yes.
We started this wonderful conversation by dwelling on Swami's karuna. So this bhajan declares what a great embodiment of compassion Swami is. Paramadayalu Sairama. It does not say, Swami, you are compassionate. It says, you are supreme compassionate, paramadayalu. Once I was meditating upon this bhajan, I thought, Swami, what is so great about your compassion? Let this mudamatai also understand, show me. The message came back from within the bhajan itself. Arey, my compassion has a history. Treta yugmi Dasharata Nandana Dwapare Yugami Murali Mohana Kali Yugami Sai Narayana Ek Prabhu Anek Naam. Are, my compassion has a history. When I came as Dasharatha's son, I was compassionate. And when I came among the Gopikas, I was compassionate. So I started wondering, Swami, what is so great about your compassion when you came as Rama? If we study the story of Rama and his relationship with Dasharatha, as Swami himself narrates in his first-hand experience of Ramayana, as said in the scriptures, one who calls out the Lord on the final moment, he reaches the Lord himself. It is a one-way ticket. But then, you cannot suddenly, somehow miraculously be prepared to call the Lord in your last minute, because when your last minute comes, it is not going to come by sending an email to you. It can come to you any moment, any day, amidst any activity. You never know when this moment is going to come. And hence, Swami, by asking us to chant his name, he has been training all of us for the last moment, so that when the last moment comes, we know how to call him. And that is exactly what he did for Dasharatha. He created the separation from Dasharatha. Dasharatha runs behind Rama's chariot, begging and pleading and requesting, saying, Rama, how can I bear this separation? And Rama does not listen to him and goes away to the forest. And here we are singing Daya Sagara. Rama, Swami, I'm wondering, where is your Daya here? Poor Dasharatha is crying like this. Then what happens to Dasharatha is that, unable to bear the separation, he is unable to eat anything, he is unable to drink water, he is constantly chanting Rama, 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 Rama. And finally, with Rama as the last word, Rama's form as the last thought, Vidashwara beat this last. And then when the message is conveyed to Rama in the forest, the first question Rama asks is, what was father's last word?
Treta Yugmi Dasharath Nandana.
That is exactly what Rama did when he came as Krishna. He created the separation. He went away from Vrindavan to Mathura and started creating the yearning in Gopikas. Swami describes this very beautifully, that Neeraja, such a great bhakta that she was, she was excommunicated, she was on the outskirts of the village, only yearning one day that she will be able to listen to the flute of Krishna. And the Lord listens to her prayer and comes back for one day and makes her keep her head on his lap and plays the flute. And listening to his flute, she merges into himself. That is the end he granted to each and every Gopika. The daya he showed to one Dasharatha, he showed to a handful of Gopikas, Bhagavan came here to show to all of us. Millions and millions of us. Of course, Swami, you have to be supreme compassionate.
Paramadayalu Sai Ram. Bhagavan, Bhagavan.
We are all guaranteed one-way tickets. When we leave, it will be so different, so spectacular, so wonderful, because when we go, when we breathe our last, the Lord has come with that money back guarantee saying, you will all be chanting the name of the Lord, we don't have to come back. So beautiful. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, brother. It was very beautiful. Sarah.
Chitram Vadatharor Mule Vrittaha Sishya Guru Yuva Guru.
Sanatadi yogi jana
Dear listeners, I hope you enjoyed the conversation with Brother Hari Subramaniam. Do send your feedback, suggestions, appreciations to listener@radiosai.org. The time now in the studios is 3:23 p.m. And at 3:30 p.m. we will have the Telugu live segment, Sri Satya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari, hosted by Brother Ganesh. Until then, let's listen to a collection of beautiful bhajans taken from Bhavanjali Volume 2, produced by the Sri Satya Sai Media Division under the banner of Sai Blossom. So this is Chandu Vijay signing off with a prayer. May all the beings in all the worlds be happy, happy and happy. And till we meet next week, Jai Sai Ram.
Sure. Mahadeva Vishwanatha Sainath Hare Krishna.